you have to picture, you have to imagine something, you know, because suddenly you are entering this world and this era. So you have to think about it. And we noticed that it was very colorful. Mm-hmm. And the color were very strong at those times, because I realized that, for example, we went to a museum of First World War, and you can find all the fabrics, and colors are crazy. They are very tense and very brilliant. Yes, it's something that comes with it. And then we wanted to invent a set also that was colorful and to make a contrast with sometimes the darkness of what is happening in it, you know. And it's also about painting, so in a way color will get to you in a way or another. So
color, color the night.
Art is an important aspect, as you said. Do you have artists that inspired you for the paintings in the film and the whole look of the film?
We had to find a painter that would help us to imagine what Antoine could paint. We had to think about some people, and I had this idea that the painting of Antoine should be the painting of a drawer first, someone who is good at drawing but not specially at painting. We started to look at different painters, and we found Suzanne Baladon, who was an artist, was very interesting, a woman who was very interesting. That was the main inspiration for the painting of Antoine. But also the movie, when I speak about art in the movie and when I speak about painting, I don't really speak about painting. I speak about movies and what kind of movie I do love. When I speak of the modesty of certain artists, or the way they reach you and they give you this idea or this feeling that you're part of the world, when you say j'aime les œuvres qui font de chacun de nous un artiste, I love the pieces that made every one of us an artist, this is an idea that I really loved, and this is a feeling that I got first looking at the Lubitsch movies. The idea that it was soliciting my intelligence, that it was dancing with me and playing with me, and it was in fact inviting me inside the film. What was very interesting to me in the dialogue, I do a little trick. I'm going to try to speak about cinema in another way, and to tell, because this movie is full of my love for cinema and full of my love for the tools of the cinema, the way of the storytelling of cinema, the way you tell stories through mise-en-scène, yeah, what is outside the frame, all these tools that are very precious when you do movies. There is first this idea of illusion, that it's much more about fiction, illusion. That was, I was very interested by that, the fact that we speak about lying and writing about lying, you write about writing and you write about the world and the importance of fiction and how through fiction you find yourself and you learn about yourself or you teach things through fiction. But so there is in this movie my love of fiction a lot, because you can see that sometimes I'm even shooting the script. You can see the script of the movie in the movie. There is a diary, and I'm filming the diary and the handwriting, and there is the notes. When he write the dialogues for Suzanne, you can see the dialogue as she's telling the dialogue to Antoine. So it's a lot about that in a way. The importance of fiction and illusion in a way, because illusion, cinema, this is the extension. Illusion is the extension in a way of the script. So it's all about that importance of telling stories. So, and why do I choose comedy? Because I have this idea that comedy helps us to live, and I've said that a lot, but I believe in that. I say that comedy is the apology of vitality, and this is the apology of movement, this is the apology of belief. I speak a lot about Howard Hawks, but Howard Hawks, this is just a movement, this is people running, chasing each other, this is pure art to me. And also Bringing Up Baby, and I was telling that this first time I saw Bringing Up Baby, it's about a woman who wants a man. This is a story of a woman who is chasing a man, Cary Grant, and Cary Grant is chasing the dog, and the dog is chasing a ball. Pure abstraction. I think she was suffering from making movie. She was a great actress, but she was suffering. It was too much pressure all the time, and she was not happy anymore on set. That I could see that shooting on Liberté. She was suffering, and in a way, I would suffer too, because she started to be tough, and I think she decided to stop because she was started to be tough. She was starting to be tough. I love to work with Pew, and I had this idea that, no, I was unlucky, you know. I had a lot of people who died in my life, a lot. Marie Fratinon died. My best friend was a producer, died in a very tragic way. It was called Vincent Meyer. It was this idea of what you do with that. What do you do with that? With the memories. What do you hold to these people you used to love? It's very interesting in the movie, because they speak a lot about that. He said, you know, I cannot let her go. I hold her something. And the guy said, no, you have to be free, and you have to, you know. So it's a lot about that too. And it's very interesting, because I then turn it into a comedy. Because I love that. I love comedy. I love Pio very much. I met Pio in a festival. He's much alive. He's very much alive. And I met him in a festival in La Réunion. And we were drinking a lot, and we were having so much fun. I fell in love with this guy. He was so funny. And I love the way he comes from theater. I love the way he acts. And I said to him, we should do, because it was drinking, stupid drinking things that we, I'm going to make all my movies when you say, all right. And then I did. And most of all, once I was asked this question, what is a great actor? I was in the radio in France and they say, what do you think is a great actor? And I said, oh my God, what can I answer? And then I said, oh yes, I know what it is. A great actor is someone who helps you to write. When I write for Pio, it's easier to write. He has this language, he has this way of being. So suddenly the character is much more, I can visualize and I can write easily for him. The way he said to Armand, you know, she's there. I can picture him when I write. Well, it's very interesting. It is a symbol of freedom because they were at this time in this fair, they were welcoming all the people who couldn't do anything else, you know, marginals. So you have this kind of living there, and that's interesting. But I didn't use it for that. I used it for very practical reason. I didn't want to make a movie about art, painting, or set. I wanted to make a movie about this woman who finds herself in this situation of betraying someone she loves and manipulating someone she loves. So you have these things. Where is she going to meet Pio? And why is she close to this caravan? Why is she there? So I said, oh my God, she could work there. She could be in. And then I had this idea that at this time, in this fair, people were showing the new technology, you know, and the science. There was funny things, but there are also these things. People used to go there to see the new things. So we had this idea of the electricities also, because we wanted to have a strong female character who is in a situation that she cannot handle anymore. She's a tough character and she's suffering a lot and she wants to free herself. But the fact that there is so much pain in her life, in a way it authorizes her, it allows her to do something a bit immoral, not moral, manipulate, because she's in such a difficult situation. And this is also this idea that lies can also be, in a way, a sign of vitality, of desire to reinvent yourself, to escape the place you're in. So this is interesting to me. I had that with Odretto too. She had in Hors de Prix, in Priceless, she had this very spectacular beauty I saw. But in this one, I wanted this girl to be very terrienne. And I had this idea that she was sold by her parents when she was 13. And I had this idea that maybe the fair was somewhere in Normandy. And I wrote the sequences. And the parents, they come, there is a little boy here on the shoulder of the father. There is the girl dancing in front to go to the fair. And then they come back and she's not there. And I had this picture of her being in this kind of tough area. Like suddenly Anaïs brought a lot of reality to that.
You're a very well-to-do artist. How do you imagine the world of poorer artists, and what experience do you personally maybe have in it?
I know exactly. I had kind of experience of that. When I was 18, I started to take art dramatic. I went to an art dramatic school. At the same time, I was working in theaters as a machinist with print, you know. And at night, I met this girl. She was a painter. She was, in fact, she was Irene. When I was very young, I met this girl who took me into Paris and all the place in Paris where all these people were. We call that squat. I don't know how you call that. There was this place called Hôpital Éphémère. It was an ancient hospital in Paris, and it was open to artists. And we used to be there all the time, and there were painters, and there were people doing clothes. Yeah, there was Zulibet, there was Les Négresses Vertes, there was FFF. All these people were starting there. And this is the world which I was into, through this wonderful girl who introduced me to the guy who did the music of the film. Camille Bazbaz was in this squat.
But you're still from a middle-class family that kind of has your back, right?
No, I was in a very, they were not poor. Father, when I was 15, they decided they go back to Corsica to be a farmer, a Clementine. So he went back to Corsica with my mother, and we stayed there with my brother and my two sisters. And I had this life, and this is the life I chose. And I worked very, very early. I earned my life very early. But you know, what do you mean? It's like a fantasy of poor people. I was earning my life in the theater, and I was earning my life in quite a good way, you know, because when you work at night, it's double paid. And I didn't have this tragic experience, you know, of eating nothing, or I was very lucky, you know. But I met people and I was interested in people, and this is not my subject. I'm not into realistic and very defilmveriste. I'm not into neorealism. As I told you, I'm very fond of fiction. That's where I left, and that's the people I love. Some of them, they had some success, some didn't. I thought about that after the idea of, you know, you see someone, someone into someone. But I was much more into my love of Lubitsch. And it's about resurrection a lot. I don't like writing. Writing is awful. But sometimes you stay like hours or days without producing nothing. And it's very destabilizing. You never go to bed quiet. You're still having this little bicycle, you know, in your head all the time. But when it's done, when I add my, when I did my outline, my structure, then when I go for the dialogue and the adaptation of dialogue, it's a bit of a better experience. There's some, there is kind of a sweetness in writing the dialogue, because writing the dialogue and the adaptation, you start to visualize the film. And to me, you start to direct the film. And then when you go everywhere, you go on location to find a scouting, you have this idea in your head and you see the scene and it's like a transparent. You look and you say, okay, what I have in mind, can it go there? Can it go there? The movie is a bit there. And that's why I need to do alone adaptation and realize, because the way I describe the scene, this is the beginning. And sometimes on the set, when I'm not sure anymore, I say, oh, should I do it? How should I read again the script. And I say, oh, okay, this is her point of view, blah, 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 blah. So I start in another way. And